Welcome to Morning Manna, June the 3rd, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us to this new day, where we can begin our study of your word. We thank you for all the blessings that you continue to bestow upon us, day by day. We ask today that as we go forward, we will learn and be able to be changed according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've reached the fifth chapter of the book of Lamentations, and we begin at verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We're orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money, our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Ephesians and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We got our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, there is desolate. The foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remaineth forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore doth thou forget us forever, and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Notice the voice of the prophet here, crying on behalf of the people who ignore the prophet for the most part. But yet his prayer is one of intercession with God. Acts of the Apostles, page 51. Beginning at paragraph 2, says this: It is not a conclusive evidence that a man is a Christian because he manifests spiritual ecstasy under extraordinary circumstances. Holiness is not rapture. It is an entire surrender of the will to God. It is living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is doing the will of our Heavenly Father. It is trusting God in trial, in darkness as well as in the light. It is walking by faith and not by sight. It is relying on God with unquestioning confidence and resting in His love. It is not essential for us to be able to define just what the Holy Spirit is. Christ tells us that the Spirit is the Comforter, the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father. It is plainly declared regarding the Holy Spirit that in his work of guiding men into all truth, he shall not speak of himself. The nature of the Holy Spirit is a mystery. Men cannot explain it because the Lord hath not revealed it to them. Men having fanciful views may bring together passages of Scripture and put a human construction on them, but the acceptance of these views will not strengthen the church. Regarding such mysteries, which are too deep for human understanding, silence is golden. The office of the Holy Spirit is distinctly specified in the words of Christ. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16 and verse 8. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin. If the sinner responds to the quickening influence of the Spirit, he will be brought to repentance and aroused to the importance of obeying the divine requirements. To the repentant sinner, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the Holy Spirit reveals the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you, Christ said. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Spirit is given as a regenerating agency to make effectual the salvation wrought by the death of our Redeemer. The Spirit is constantly seeking to draw the attention of men to the great offering that was made on the cross of Calvary, to unfold to the world the love of God, and to open to the convicted soul the precious things of the Scriptures. Having brought conviction of sin and presented before the mind the standard of righteousness, the Holy Spirit withdraws the affections from the things of this earth and fills the soul with a desire for holiness. He will guide you into all truth, says John 16 and verse 13. The Savior declared, if men are willing to be molded, there will be brought about a sanctification of the whole being. The Spirit will take the things of God and stamp them on the soul. By the power, the way of life will be made so plain by His power that none need err therein. From the beginning, God has been working by His Holy Spirit through human instrumentalities for the accomplishment of His purpose in behalf of the fallen race. This was manifest in the lives of the patriarchs. To the church in the wilderness also, in the time of Moses, God gave His good Spirit to instruct them, Nehemiah 9 and verse 20. And in the days of the apostles, He wrought mightily for His church through the agency of the Holy Spirit, the same power that sustained the patriarchs, that gave Caleb and Joshua faith and courage, that made the work of the apostles' church effective, has upheld God's faithful children in every succeeding age. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that during the Dark Ages, the Waldensian Christians helped to prepare the way for the Reformation. It was the same power that made successful the efforts of the noble men and women who pioneered the way for the establishment of modern missions and for the translation of the Bible into the languages and dialects of all nations and peoples. And today God is still using His church to make known His purpose in the earth. Today the heralds of the cross are going from city to city and from land to land, preparing the way for the second advent of Christ. The standard of God's law is being exalted. The Spirit of the Almighty is moving upon men's hearts, and those who respond to its influence become witnesses for God and His truth. In many places, consecrated men and women may be seen communicating to others the light that has made plain to them the way of salvation through Christ. And as they continue to let their light shine, as did those who were baptized with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they receive more and still more of the Spirit's power. Thus the earth is to be lightened with the glory of God. On the other hand, there are some who, instead of wisely improving present opportunities, they're idly waiting for some special reason, special season of spiritual refreshing, by which their ability to lighten others will be greatly increased. They neglect present duties and privileges and allow their light to burn dim, while they look forward to a time when, without any effort on their part, they will be made the recipients of special blessing by which they will be transformed and fitted for service. It is true that in the time of the end, when God's work in the earth is closing, the earnest efforts put forth by consecrated believers under the guidance of the Holy Spirit are to be accompanied by special tokens of divine favor. Under the figure of the earthly, the early and the latter rain that falls in eastern lands at seed time and harvest, the Hebrew prophets foretold the bestowal of spiritual grace in extraordinary measure upon God's church. The outpouring of the Spirit in the days of the apostles was the beginning of the early or former rain, and glorious was the result. To the end of time, the presence of the Spirit is to abide with the true church. But near the close of earth's harvest, a special bestowal of spiritual grace is promised to prepare the church for the coming of the Son of Man. This outpouring of the Spirit is likened to the falling of the latter rain, and it is for this added power that Christians are to send their petitions to the Lord of the harvest in the time of the latter rain. In response, the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. He shall cause to come down the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. Zechariah 10 and verse 1, Joel 2 and verse 23. But unless the members of God's church today have a living connection with the source of all spiritual growth, they will not be ready for the time of reaping. Unless they keep their lamps trimmed and burning, they will fail of receiving added grace in times of special need. Those only who are constantly receiving fresh supplies of grace will have power proportionate to their daily need and their ability to use that power. Instead of looking forward to some future time when, through a special endowment of spiritual power, they will receive a miraculous fitting up for soul winning, they are yielding themselves daily to God, that he may make them vessels meet for his use. Daily they are improving the opportunities for service that lie within their reach. Daily they are witnessing for the Master wherever they may be, whether it in some humble sphere of labor in the home or in a public field of usefulness. To the consecrated worker, there is wonderful consolation in the knowledge that even Christ, during his life on earth, sought his Father daily for fresh supplies of needed grace. And from this communion with God, he went forth to strengthen and bless others. Behold, the Son of God bowed in prayer to his Father. Though he is the Son of God, he strengthens his faith by prayer. And by communion with heaven, gathers to himself power to resist evil and to minister to the needs of men. As the elder brother of our race, he knows the necessities of those who, compassed with infirmity and living in a world of sin and temptation, still desire to serve him. He knows that the messengers whom he sees fit to send are weak, erring men, but to all who give themselves wholly to his service, he promises divine aid. His own example is an assurance that earnest, persevering supplication to God in faith, faith that leads to entire dependence upon God and unreserved consecration to his work, will avail to bring to men the Holy Spirit's aid in the battle against sin. Every worker who follows the example of Christ will be prepared to receive and use the power that God has promised to his church for the ripening of earth's harvest. Morning by morning, as the heralds of the gospel kneel before the Lord and renew their vows of consecration to him, he will grant them the presence of his Spirit with its reviving, sanctifying power. As they go forth to the day's duties, they have the assurance that the unseen agency of the Holy Spirit enables them to be laborers together with God. The disciples of Christ had a deep sense of their own inefficiency, and with humiliation and prayer, they join their weakness to his strength, their ignorance to his wisdom, their unworthiness to his righteousness, their poverty to his exhaustless wealth. Thus strengthened and equipped, they hesitated not to press forward in the service of the Master. A short time after the descent of the Holy Spirit, and immediately after a season of earnest prayer, Peter and John, going up to the temple to worship, saw at the gate a cripple, 40 years of age, whose life from his birth had been one of pain and infirmity. This unfortunate man had long desired to see Jesus, that he might be healed, but he was almost helpless, and was far removed from the scene of the great physician's labor. His pleadings at last induced some friends to bear him to the gate of the temple, but upon arriving there he found that the one upon whom his hopes were centered had been put to a cruel death. His disappointment excited the sympathy of those who knew for how long he had eagerly hoped to be healed by Jesus, and daily they brought him to the temple in order that passers-by might be induced by pity to give him a trifle to relieve his wants. As Peter and John passed, he asked an alms from them. The disciples regarded him compassionately, and Peter said, "Look on us," and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, As Peter thus declared his poverty, the countenance of the cripple fell, but it grew bright with hope as the apostle continued, "But such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They were astonished that the disciples could perform miracles similar to those performed by Jesus. Yet here was this man, for 40 years a helpless cripple, now rejoicing in the full use of his limbs, free from pain and happy in believing in Jesus. When the disciples saw the amazement of the people, Peter asked, "Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" He assured them that the cure had been wrought in the name and through the merits of Jesus of Nazareth, whom God had raised from the dead. His name through faith is in his name, the apostle declared, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The apostle spoke plainly of the great sin of the Jews in rejecting and putting to death the Prince of Life. But they were careful not to drive their hearers to despair. "Ye deny the Holy One and the Just," Peter said, "and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof ye we are witnesses. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." He declared that the Holy Spirit was calling upon them to repent and be converted, and assured them that there was no hope of salvation except through the mercy of the one whom they had crucified. Only through faith in him could their sins be forgiven. "Repent ye, therefore, and be converted," he cried, "that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Thus the disciples preached the resurrection of Christ. Many among those who listened were waiting for this testimony, and when they heard it, they believed. It brought to their minds the words that Christ had spoken, and they took their stand in the ranks of those who accepted the gospel. The seed that the Savior had sown sprang up and bore fruit. That gospel is the gospel that God has given us today to deliver. That same gospel he has given to us today to speak to those who are around us, to call them in faith to stand with Christ, so that their lives might be transformed according to the power of his will and all that he has promised to do. What is your answer to that message today? How do you stand? Have you committed yourself to his worship? Have you committed yourself to his obedience? Have you decided that you will walk according to his will always, and to do the things that are right and pleasing in his sight? Have you committed yourself to asking for forgiveness, to coming in repentance to God, asking him to help you to turn from the iniquity that has dominated your existence all of these years, but now you are willing to stand with the God of heaven and to obey him and to do the things that he is calling you to do? Why not make today a day of new commitment? Why not ask God to forgive you for all that has gone before, for opportunities missed, for opportunities overlooked, and ask him to start a new path for you so that you might walk according to his will in all things? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you continue to pour out for us. We thank you for the opportunities that you remain open so that we might hear your word and be transformed according to your will. We ask that you would fill us now with your strength and give us that which we need most so that we might follow you closely in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, June the 3rd, 2019.